Oh, there are those, says the Lord, they say, I have not come in the flesh. Oh, but they will be so disappointed. So disappointed when I come back again on the clouds. For if I have not come the first time, I cannot come the second time, says Jesus. For the fact that I did come in the flesh, that I walked in the earth, that I stood at the fountains, that I laid my hands on the sick, that I cast out devils, that I did all these mighty works, and yet they say I did not come. Oh, when they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds, and they shall see the holes in my hands and the spear hole in my side. Oh, then the reality shall hit them. And they shall cry, and they shall weep, and they shall mourn. But it will be too late for them, declares God. For those who deny me now will deny me in the future. And they will not receive my second coming, let alone the first. But I have come. And I declare to you, my children, I am coming again on the clouds of glory, that all men may see from every corner of this earth. All men shall see the appearing, and those who have hungered after me shall rejoice. And those who despised me, despised my salvation, despised my grace, despised my goodness, oh, they shall know my wrath, says God. For that day is coming, has already begun, where there's a separation of the goats and the sheep. There's a separation of those who believe, of those who cry out for me, those who hunger and thirst, and those who curse me. And I'm dividing between the two, says the Lord. And my blessings are on those who hunger and thirst. My blessings are on those who cry out for my name, who seek after my face, says God. For I will bless them and I will cause them to triumph over conditions that the world says, how can they do that? How can they endure? How can they survive? But you will do more than survive, says God, for you will conquer those things. And you will become the head and not the tail. And there will come a day before you leave when even the sons of evil men will say, truly there is something about these people. For I will set my glory upon you, and it shall be seen in the earth. For my glory will no longer be shut up, but it will be displayed again, saith the Father, that all men may see, that all would have that opportunity to come unto me and worship me, says God. Come with my angels for all to see, and my glory will be again. So come, bow down and worship me. God, I am the Almighty God of grace, and my mercy is being poured out in the earth, that all that would receive can drink.
God is good, amen, all the time. He is good. Thank you, Lord. I have my voice back. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Let's start out with our favorite Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now notice, this is his knowledge. It's not my knowledge of him, it's his knowledge through us. that we're displaying in every place. Amen? It's His knowledge. Now, with that His knowledge, I'm going to separate His knowledge and my knowledge. Last week, I made an error when I was preaching. Now, this shows when you haven't read a scripture for a while, you shouldn't try to comment about it. I've heard so many Bible scholars on Revelation say, if you haven't read Revelation within the last several days, don't even bother to get into a conversation about it, because you'll misquote it. You'll get something wrong with it. Well, I wasn't talking about Revelation, but I was talking about a situation out of Matthew 22, 23, where last week I said the Pharisees came and asked Jesus about if a woman married and her husband died, and she married seven husbands, whose wife would she be? And I made the comment that I don't think a Sadducee would ask that question. Well, I was wrong. It was the Sadducees that asked the question. Now, my point is similar. Is that a way I can theologically get out of it? But the Sadducees were asking the question to disprove an afterlife. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't understand marriage, and you don't understand the kingdom of heaven. You don't understand what it's like to be afterwards. So the Sadducees were coming against Jesus to say that there is no afterlife. And how do you explain this? If there's an afterlife, what happens if you've been married multiple times? Just as one example, and whose wife are you going to be? And Jesus, you really don't understand what you're talking about. Well, that was kind of like me last Sunday. So our two resident Bible scholars very, very meekly and very graciously corrected me on that. And so I apologize for that. And I'll try not to make comment on scriptures that I haven't read recently. Amen? Hallelujah. So we've been saying this for quite a long time, but on Christmas Sunday, God spoke to us. He said, let this year, about 2017, let this year be a manifestation of my glory. And I keep saying that what God does is done with our participation. It's not done without us. Now, that's really significant. That's really important, because so often our faith, we want God to do something and we just sit here and be receivers. You know, hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, if you want to heal me, go ahead and heal me. God says, well, if you want to be healed, come to me. Okay, Lord, you heal me. You come to me. Okay, Lord, heal me. Come to me. It's like there's got to be a movement. You notice in the Bible, it doesn't say Jesus healed everybody. It says Jesus healed everyone who came to him. You know, there were certain people that God told him to go to, but when Jesus healed the man at the pool, he only healed one man. He didn't heal everybody at the pool. He healed one man. He healed him and left. You find every now and then he healed a blind person, or he did this for that person, but he didn't do it for everyone. But then when he was having crowds, he would heal everyone who came to him. So there is our participation in the things of God. It's not that God, I mean, God is sovereign. Understand this. God is sovereign, but we don't believe in the sovereign movement where whatever, because see, there's a sovereignty movement going on, has for years and years and years. It's old. And it says that whatever happens is the will of God. Well, I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of things that happen that's not God's will. If it was God's will, why would he warn you about what his will is? Why would he keep you and teach you things to learn to grow and to change your mind and think differently if what he has planned is already going to happen no matter what? See, the devil, there's a thief. The Bible says, we'll get to this later, but the Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That tells me the works of the devil are real and that they're not the will of God. So not everything that happens is the will of God. And yet, God is sovereign. He will have his way. But right now, we're in grace. Right now, he's given us a free mind and a free freedom of choice. Praise God for that. And he's testing us to see whether we will go with God and participate with him, whether we're going to do our own thing. And that gets serious sometimes. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And this is a prominent question in the scriptures as we go through and we look at things. In Matthew 1:1, we started this last week talking about Thy Kingdom Come, our new series. And in Matthew 1:1, Matthew introduces Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, as the son of David and the son of Abraham. And we said last week that he is establishing and revealing to us a dual citizenship or a dual kingdom, one in the earth and one in heaven. Now, we said last week, and I want to reinforce this week, and we're still just doing an introduction into the kingdom of God, but the kingdom is in the world but empowered from heaven. We get into error when we think the kingdom of God is in the earth and it's my purpose to create the kingdom of God in the earth, or in other words, that I'm going to empower and create the kingdom of God out of my will or out of my ability. Or out of my desire. It is empowered from heaven. We finished last week with Revelation 5:10. It says, "And has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So there's a kingdom of God in the earth, but it's empowered from heaven. This reign is the kingdom of David, as we talked about last week. It's sometimes seen or understood as the millennial reign in Christ. Now, there might be a little bit of just different ways of looking at that. I'm not going to go into that. But some people say this is when Jesus comes back in the millennial reign. I think that's true, but I think it goes beyond the millennial reign. But it is, the point is, he's going to establish it in the earth. Amen. Now, we said last week, too, and I want to really reinforce this. This is not Kingdom Now theology. Kingdom Now theology says Christ has already returned, and some of them even have a date. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Jesus was supposed to have returned in 1919, 1918, 1940. There's different dates for it, okay? It didn't happen. You know, what they believe is that we're in the millennial kingdom now. And I'm thinking, if this is as good as it's going to get under Christ, I'm finding a new God, because he's doing a really poor job of it. If this is a millennial reign of Christ, this is not the God I serve doing this. So to me, that's just the evidence. We're not in the millennial reign, regardless of what these people want to believe. They have nothing to point to and say, oh, there he is, because the Bible says he's going to rule and reign from the throne in Jerusalem. I don't see Jesus there yet. Now, another way that the kingdom theology talks is that Christ will not return and there is no millennial reign at all, but it is up to us to establish the physical kingdom of David in the earth as best we can. And this is a large precept of the Roman Catholic Church. It's a large precept of other denominations that they believe that it is the kingdom, that Jesus has given us the kingdom, and it's up to us to do the best we can. And whenever you see man trying to establish the kingdom of heaven in the earth without God, you see wars and fightings and religious persecutions, and you see all that kind of stuff going on. And because it's man trying to establish the kingdom of God, but it's empowered by man, not empowered from heaven. Do you understand that? Jesus encounters both of these arguments, identifying Jesus as the Son of David in Matthew 1:1. He said he is the Son of David. He points to a physical kingdom of God over the earth that is to be established by Jesus himself. We refer to this event as the second coming, and we see this kingdom being fully established at Christ's physical return. And that's one of the big differences. We believe in the physical return of Jesus Christ in a bodily form. The Bible talks about you will see him from heaven. They will see the piercings in his hands and his side. They will see these things. Well, that seems to be pretty physical to me. You know, some people say, well, when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised spiritually, not physically. He ate fish. I love it when he tells the disciples, hey, if you don't believe, here's the hole where they speared me. Put your hand in there. I'm thinking, no way. you think I'm nuts? It's like, it probably wasn't gory like what we might think. But Jesus says, I'm physical. You can touch me. See, Jesus' resurrection was physical because they didn't find a body, and it's also spiritual because he was raised out of hell by the glory of God. So it's a dual citizenship, a dual kingdom that he has. In Ephesians 1:10, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, of the times, he, Jesus, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. So Ephesians prophesies about a joining in the kingdom of God of all things in heaven and on earth. Now, through the new birth by faith on Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is within us, and in Christ we are to have dominion over the earth now, but not completely until Christ himself returns. Now, that's crucial to understand. We have dominion now, but not completely. We have dominion over our circumstances, over our reaction. We have dominion over our sphere of influence sometimes. Sometimes if other people don't want to yield to God, you don't have authority there. But where the will of God is, there God's authority is known. That's why two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If two on earth would agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them. Lots of verses in the Bible like that. So we have dominion in the earth. Amen? Not just in heavenly places, but in the earth we have dominion. Now that's crucial because this is the word of faith. This is the word of God to us. And when you don't believe that, when you don't accept that, well, whatever happens, happens. And you just kind of go along. Well, this might be the will of God for me. No, if it's destructive, it's not the will of God. If it's devilish and demonic, it is not the will of God for you. Amen? See, you ought to shout real good on that one. You ought to get real happy about that. That is not the will of God. I want the will of God done in my life. I'm going to walk in health. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk overcoming all these things. Why? That is the will of God, and I am establishing it in my life by my faith in the earth. It's empowered from God, but it's in the earth because it's in me. See, Jesus confirms this. Excuse me. He confirms this. When he sent out his disciples and he commanded them to do what? Heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. And he told them, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, this is curious because the kingdom is in the earth as well as in heaven. But through God, he is establishing it through you in the earth to give you dominion over the things of this natural world. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not only spiritual, it is also natural. And Jesus is the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, that's background. Moving into today, are you ready for today's message? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We find here the wise men coming to Jerusalem. And it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. I'll go ahead and read the third verse too. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, this is interesting because Matthew is introducing us to a tale of two kings. Matthew, I'm reading Matthew and studying it and looking at it with you through a kingdom perspective. And here he is contrasting two kings, one a natural king and one the king of the Jews. And we know Jews is not only natural but spiritual also. So Jesus is born in the days of Herod the king. That's the natural king, obviously. And the wise men sought the king of the Jews. Now, with this, see, Herod thought he was the king of the Jews. Well, he was natural king and he was natural king of the Jews, but he got his authority from Rome. From Caesar. But the wise men are not looking for who Rome has set in position. They're looking for who God has set in the position. And so they come looking for the king of the Jews, the spiritual people of God, the believers of God the Father, the sons of Abraham. He's looking for these two. Now, Matthew is raising the question of authority. Which is the rightful king of the Jews? Is it Herod or is it the Christ? This is the question that they're raising. Herod knows this. That's why he was troubled. That's why he didn't like this. Who is the genuine king of the Jews? Is it Herod? Or is it Christ? Okay. Go with me to Matthew 21, 23. I think you'll enjoy this. Matthew 21, starting to verse 23. This is... The day before, Jesus had drove the money changers out of the temple, had gone back to Bethany, and now they're coming back into the city, and he sees the fig tree, and curses the fig tree, and the fig tree withers away. And down 23, it says, now when Jesus came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted Jesus as he was teaching. Boy, it is horrible when people interrupt the preacher. I tell you, I mean, you get on a roll and somebody comes up with a question. He's got, not now. So anyway, Jesus is teaching. I want you to get that picture. He's teaching and they're interrupting him and saying, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? But Jesus, now the word, this is curious to me. You hear me talk about the word exousia a lot, which is kingdom authority. It's authority. It's also interpreted as power. Here they interpret it as authority. This is the word exousia. Who gave you this authority? Who gave you the right to do what you're doing? See, this is a real question of authority, because exousia is the authority as kings have. I can do whatever I want to. No man can limit me. No man can stop me. I can do whatever I want to. This is exousia, power of choice that God has given to us. And boy, when the new birth, you have a fresh anointing of exousia. Verse 24, Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what exousia I do these things. By what authority I do these things. And here's the question. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? Oh, here's the crux of authority. If you recognize Bible, Scripture, Jesus as authority, then you know in your heart you are required to obey it. Because he's authority. Isn't that right? You can't say Jesus is Lord and then do whatever you want. Hello? Your life was bought at a price. It's no longer yours. You live a life indebted to Jesus Christ. And praise God, it's now him who lives through you and not you yourself. There's that transformation that we call it the new birth. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things are new and all things are of God. Okay, we call it all these different things, but what it means is, by what authority do you go by? See, the men asking Jesus these questions understand what Jesus is asking them. If we say that John's authority came from heaven, then he will say to us, and why did you not believe him? Why did you not act on what John has told you if you believe that God gave him that authority? Verse 26, it says, but if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we don't know. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? They did know. Because they're debating, if we say from heaven, he's going to ask, why don't you listen to him? If we say from men, the people are going to be opposed to us, and we don't want to have to deal with the people. So where are they getting their authority from? The people. Because whatever the people want, we don't want to upset the people. You know, we don't want to mob. They'll run us out of town. So the best position we can take, see, they're good politicians. The best position we can take is, well, we're for it, but we're against it. You know, we want this reform done in our nation, and it's got to be done, but I don't agree with that one. Well, which one do you agree with? Well, I don't know. There's the problem. By what authority? They don't know. Well, if they don't know, Gordon Brubaker speaking now, get them out of office if they can't figure it out. Why let these don't know it all, don't know anything, be in charge of your life? It's kind of what Jesus is saying here. It's like, if you can't figure out where John got his authority from, where do you get your authority? Where do you get your wisdom from? So Jesus says, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, this is real curious, because the chief priests and the elders knew John felt his authority, his exousia, came from heaven. I mean, at the minimum, they could say, well, John believed that God was the one that gave him this. Well, then Jesus would still ask more than, what do you think about John? See, if John's authority came from men, they could have or would have controlled John. Could have said, you sit down now, John. We're not going to license you to do this stuff anymore. And John, if his authority came from men, he would have said, yes, sir, I'll sit down and I'll follow you. Many people are put in this spot. We were put in that spot. When healing started breaking out years ago, we had the district board came to us and said, you can heal on Sunday night and Wednesdays, but not on Sunday mornings. See, they're asking the question of authority. By what authority do you do this? And I said, I can't do that. I can't. I said, if someone comes for prayer for healing on Sunday morning, I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pray for you this morning. You come back tonight or Wednesday. Can you feature Jesus doing that? Oh, I don't want to offend the powers that be, so I can't heal you now. No, Jesus did exactly the opposite. I mean, I love the audacity of Jesus, the exousia that he had in the midst of stubbornness, in the midst of everybody. You can't heal on the Sabbath. How dare you heal on the Sabbath? That is the Lord's day. And we want to honor the Lord on the Sabbath by not doing any work. And if you're healing the sick, you're doing work. Jesus said, well, if your cow falls in a ditch on the Sabbath, are you going to leave him there? Or are you going to draw him out? Well, we'll draw him out because that's our livelihood. He said, don't you think that, basically this is what he said, don't you think the Father loves people more than you love your cow? Therefore, he said, it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And I loved it. Just stretch out your arm and be whole. I can see it. Just picture so plain. Jesus just like, oh, you stuck in the mud religious folk. You, stretch out your arm. And the guy just, okay. And he stretched out his arm and it was made whole. Woo, hallelujah. Because Jesus dared to resist the powers of men because Jesus got his power from a greater authority. His authority came from heaven. Amen. See, many people are confused over final authority. Again, I want to say this. The kingdom of the Son of David is in this world, but the empowerment is from heaven. If you think final authority is this world, you will never go against this world. If you think final authority is your sickness, you will never fight the sickness. If you think final authority is your depression, you will never fight against depression. If you think the final authority in your life is your husband or your wife, you will never become a whole person. If you think anything in this natural world is your final authority, well, you know, mom and dad always said this about me, so I guess it's true. That's your final authority? You're putting your mom and dad, no offense to them, but you're putting your mom and dad on the same level as God. No, actually, you're putting them on a higher level of God. See, if you believe the scripture, it's going to challenge you to move up. Yeah. It'll give you confidence. I don't have to yield to the pressure of this world. Because my authority comes from heaven. It doesn't come from men. It doesn't come from natural circumstances. My authority comes from God himself. And if God be for me, finish it. Who can be against me? Woo! See, there's power in this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, now if the world is your authority, well, I can only do a few things because the world doesn't like it when I get too bold. World doesn't like it when I get too confident. World doesn't like it if I have a better house than other people. World doesn't like it if I have a better car than some people. World doesn't like it. Well, who's your final authority? Do you, if you're a parent and you have children, do you base what you give your kids based on what a friend of yours gives their kids? Well, they all have iPhones. I think I should get my child an iPhone. Why? Well, because they have iPhones. Who's the authority? Or I have a friend that they can't afford iPhones, so therefore I can't buy my children iPhones because that would be uppity. Who's your final authority? See, the Bible says it is... If I do that, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. But the Bible says that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. So why would you refuse what God's given to you? Why would you refuse healing if God's given it to you? Why would you refuse freedom if God has given it to you? See, this is from when you, subconsciously, we think the kingdom of heaven is when we die and go to heaven. And that's why I'm trying to impress on you, the kingdom of heaven is on the earth, but it's empowered from heaven. It gives you authority in this natural realm. Because if you don't understand that, you'll never challenge the things that hold you back. Because you're going to be limited by what you can see instead of the Word of God. And you're determining what is your final authority. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. See, Jesus is saying the authority of God's word is what sets us apart as Christians, apart from the world. It's the word. It's not you're going to church. It's not you getting all excited and dancing on Sunday mornings. It's not all those things. I like those things, but that's not what sets you apart. Oh, those people are weird and that know what sets you apart is the word of God. And acting on the word of God. That's what makes you different. That's why the devil comes to steal immediately the word that was sown in your heart. That's why he comes to steal you. Well, who do you think you are? Oh, this will work for them. They say this, but it'll never work for you. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. Yeah. Say that with me. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. And that is not my authority. See, God's come to set you free. He's come to destroy the works of the devil. And say, all these people, well, there's no devil. Well, then what do you fight against? Injustice. Isn't that the devil? I mean, by any other name, isn't that the devil? Poverty. Isn't that the devil? Have you ever heard of a poverty spirit? There's one around. There's one that wants to dominate you and wants you to keep from succeeding. We watched a little bit of a flip, one of those house flip things on TV the other day. I don't know where it was. But they bought a house that's probably not as nice as our house. They paid to flip it over. They paid $400,000 for that house. Their remodeling cost was $100,000 for that house. And I'm thinking, do you know if I would buy a house in our community for $400,000, it'd be a whole lot nicer than the house we have. Out there, you've got to make big money to buy a $400,000 home, and there's lots of them around. I heard one time in California, a trailer on the side of a mountain sold for $500,000. A trailer. It wasn't even in good condition, but it was in California. I mean, I could not afford to live in California at the salary I'm currently getting. When I started work out of college, one of the draftsmen, the head draftsman of our group, he after they hired me and he got me trained, he said, I'm leaving for New York. He said, the salary there, they're paying me almost double what you're paying me here. I'm going to New York. So he packed up his bags and moved to New York, and he got his job and he did his work. Within 3 months, I'm serious, within 3 months he wrote back and says, can I come back? Is there a position open for me to come back? He said, I can't afford to live in New York. He was making twice the salary. He couldn't afford to live in New York. Why? Cost of living was three times higher. Makes you think. See, God's got to make provision. It's like sometimes I see people driving. We got behind a Maserati the other day. It's like, boy, it was a good-looking car. You know what? I'd like to have the money to buy a Maserati. I wouldn't buy me a Maserati because I don't want a Maserati, but I'd like to have the money to buy one if I wanted to. Is there anything wrong with that? No, it's the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I'm not lusting. I don't want the car. Just let me have the money. There's nothing wrong with that. So, back, are we still in Matthew 2:2? Let's go there. See, the authority of God's word sets us apart. Our final authority is the word of God. It is scripture. Our final authority comes from heaven. This means that heaven's authority is greater than the authority of this world. In Matthew 2:2, the wise men understood this. We see it in here. They're asking, where is he who was born king of the Jews? See, this guy was born that way. He didn't work his way into the position. He was born king of the Jews, which means his authority came from heaven through birth. Now, they go on to say, For we have seen the star in the east and have come to worship him. Now catch this. You don't worship a natural king, although natural kings want men to worship them. You do not worship a natural king. Only God is good, and only God is worthy of worship. So the fact that these wise men came, where is he who is born king of the Jews? Not only are they saying he is born from heaven for this purpose, already pre-initiated for this, predestined for it, but he's also one worthy to be worshipped at his birth. Now, you might honor somebody for what they've accomplished, but Jesus had just been born. He hadn't done anything yet, and they're willing to come and worship the one who hasn't accomplished anything yet. Remember when Jesus got baptized, and the Father says, "This is my Son, and in whom I am well pleased"? What had Jesus done? Nothing. But the Father was pleased. Now, we'll get into that next week. But the Father was pleased with Jesus. Now, wise men saw this Christ as a heavenly king born into the earth for one reason, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, let me ask you a simple question. If we are going to destroy the works of the devil, you have to go where the devil's works are. The devil is not in heaven. He's on the earth. Thus, the kingdom of God on earth is for one purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why it's given to you. Not just so you can rejoice, not just so you can be happy, but to destroy the works of the devil. Another way to say that is to take authority over your circumstances. To not have to be where you are if you don't enjoy where you're at. That you can be healed, you can be whole, you can be made complete because of the power of Jesus. Because doing those things is not, listen, it's not exalting yourself, it's exalting the kingdom of God, it's exalting his word over my situation. It's not because I'm being haughty, it's because I'm submitting myself to the hand of God, and he will exalt me in due time. See, it's him that's doing the work. This is empowered from heaven. It's not about me, it's about God. It's not about me, well, I want to be healed so I can witness everybody else. No, just get over that. Be healed and give glory to God. Just be healed and give glory to God. Well, yeah, but God wants me to witness. Yes, you're right, he does want you to witness. But don't go around, I want to be healed that God's going to get something so I can be this great witness for God. Just be healed and exalt the word of God in your life. That will be the witness. That will be the testimony that you put God first instead of all this other junk. See, when the wise men sought the king of the Jews, Herod understood it to be a physical, natural kingdom. That's why in Matthew 2:3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. All Jerusalem with him. Well, Jerusalem was troubled because the king was troubled. The king was troubled because there was a new king in town. There was a king of the Jews, and he knew that that king is challenging my authority. Herod got his authority in the natural. Jesus got his authority from heaven. Herod even understood that which is spiritual is greater than that which is natural. John the Baptist understood it. He said, his kingdom must increase and mine must decrease. And he rejoiced in it because he was celebrating the day of the Christ, the day of the Messiah. Herod saw just the opposite. His kingdom must increase and mine must decrease. What am I going to do now? Well, get in the one that's increasing. Smart move, huh? If your company's laying everybody off and they say, but we'll give you a job at this other company and they look healthy, they look prosperous, and they're going to continue, well, it'd be stupid to stay at the company that you know is going bankrupt because you know you're going to lose your job. And they're saying, we'll let you work for this other one. Go with the other one. But not King Herod. No. He hated God. He was against God. See, Jesus Christ shakes natural kings and kingdoms. This is the fear of natural men. When God appears, they all say, I am undone. Woe am I, for I am undone. Matthew chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, natural, who will shepherd my people Israel, spiritual. So there's going to come a king and a shepherd. The king represents the physical kingdom of David, the physical kingdom of the reign of God in the earth. But the shepherd is the Spirit of God, for he is the great shepherd. Amen. So Matthew is using Scripture to draw this parallel thing going on again. He's a ruler, natural, and a shepherd, spiritual, of my people. See, Christ combines the kingdom of David and the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Now catch this. We are those who have inherited the kingdom. Woo! I'll woo. We are the ones that have inherited the kingdom. See, Matthew is saying the kingdom of heaven is in the earth, empowered by heaven. Herod understood that. If we understood that, we're in the kingdom of God. Well, where's the kingdom of God? When you die? No, it's in the earth. It's being manifested right now around you. You have the choice to either manifest the kingdom or just keep on doing what you're doing. One or the other. But it's a choice. Oh, I want to go into next week so bad, and I can't go there yet because I got to lay some more groundwork for that. But you got a choice. The king has come. The king is among us. There is no king unless there's a kingdom. Jesus, the Bible says, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, if you're not a king, what is he king over? If there's a king, there's a kingdom. And if you're a king, there's a kingdom. Jesus brought the kingdom of heaven. We are brought into Christ in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we operate and function in the kingdom of heaven. Not just natural, but in the supernatural. Our authority doesn't come from men. Our authority doesn't come from, doctor, what do you say? No, that's not your final authority. The final authority is Scripture. The final authority is the kingdom of heaven. Luke 12:32. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I read that with the context that I'm studying right now. And I'm thinking, well, duh. What other verse do we need? Well, I don't know if children, if we're to receive the kingdom of God. Well, right there it says it's the Father's good pleasure. In other words, God wants you to have this authority, dominion in the earth while you live, because the devil's here and your fight is here, so you need the authority here. Yes, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And some people think, well, when we get to heaven, we'll finally have the devil under our feet. He's not there. He's not there. I mean, what a disappointment. I've been looking to heaven all my life. What a disappointment to get there. Devil, I'm going to whoop on you big time for all that you did on me on the earth. I'm going to get you, devil. I'm going to wring your neck, you devil. You get up to heaven. Where's the devil? I want to wring his neck. He's not welcome. He's not here. And you wasted 60, 70, 80, 100 years on the earth by not going after the devil because you've been waiting to get to heaven so you can really get him. Start now. Start early. get ahead of the game and just start beating on the devil. Devil, the word of God is above you. You have to submit to the word of God. I am part of the kingdom and you have to submit to me because I have a Zeusy over you. I have authority from heaven over you, devil. And devil, your only authority comes from what people give to you, because God didn't give him dominion over this planet. He gave it to men. And Jesus came to restore that kingdom to us. Final verse, Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's his kingdom. He wants to give it to us. He wants us to walk in it. He wants us to rejoice in it. He wants us to prosper in it. He wants us to be blessed by it. Don't try to be spiritual and humble by refusing what God is giving to you. If I wanted to give my wife a diamond ring, say about 44 carat, you know, she'd need a wagon to pull it around with her because she couldn't wear it on her hand. She'd have to say, there's my ring that my husband gave me. It's in the wagon. If I wanted to give that to her and I gave it to her and she'd say, oh, honey, I know you love me. I don't deserve this ring. I'd whoop her silly. I mean, it's an expression of my love. Don't you want my love? This is what I think about you. I want to give. No, I don't deserve this. I'm not giving it to you for payment of services rendered. I'm giving it to you because I love you, and I just want to bless you. Now she might say, I don't want a ring like that. Give me the money. And I'll go shopping on my own. But see, the thing is, she would receive it because it's a gift from me to her. And we need to receive and be humble to God. Lord, I receive my healing because it is your will, oh God. Let's stand up. Lord, I receive my life back to me in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let the devil rob from me anymore. I'm not going to listen to his lies about me anymore. I am a child of my Father God. Oh, when Jesus called God Father, they got so upset at Jesus. And we don't even understand why. Because in the Jewish understanding, if you call God Father, you are declaring yourself to be equal with God. And Jesus taught the disciples before the new birth, praying this way, our Father. Woo! Our Father. See, his kingdom belongs to us. His kingdom is in us now. But we're working to manifest that kingdom in the earth and take dominion and spread his glory out wherever we walk, wherever our foot treads. We take authority over that spot in the name of Jesus Christ, and we claim it for the Lord Jesus. We claim his kingdom. Come, 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 come where we walk. We take authority. That's what he told Moses. He made it easier for Joshua. He told Moses, wherever you walk, I'll give it to your feet. And with Joshua, I believe, God told him, you just plant a foot. Just a foot. Well, now you can just speak and take authority over it. Devil, you're under our feet. Because you're under the feet of Jesus Christ. Every lie you've ever spoken to us, we cast that down to the ground in Jesus' name. I take authority right now in the name of Jesus over sickness and disease in your life, and I tell you, it is broken. It is broken. That diabetes is not natural, it is spiritual. And if you let me into your life, says God, if you yield to me, that diabetes will flee from you, and you will get off any medication you're on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. See, a lot of this stuff, we just take it, well, this is natural. Some of these things are spiritual. And if you're going to get healed, it's not going to be through medicine, it's going to be through spiritual, because you're dealing with spiritual things here. So we've got to understand some of these things. Don't just accept it because the doctor said it. These things can change in the name of Jesus. And he wants them to be changed. He wants you to be strong. Why? Well, one, it gives him more pleasure. Because then you can do what you want to do. You can be free. And God will take pleasure in you being free, because you're not burdened anymore. You're not worried. You're not waking up. Well, where do I ache today? You know, some people, they wake up and they feel their body to find out where the new pain is today. No. You wake up and feel your body say, oh, hallelujah, my joints move easily. They are free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we take authority over sickness and disease in this house. We command you, every infirmity, to leave in Jesus' name. We command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Because this is a place where the kingdom of God rules and reigns. And devil, you are not allowed in this place in the name of Jesus. Whether it's in spirit or body, physical, devil, you are not allowed to be here. We drive you out by the authority of the Word of God, because we place God as final authority over our lives in Jesus' name. We declare this, that we are free. We are free of all this junk, all this stuff, all these attacks. We are free from these things in the name of Jesus Christ, God. And we give you praise. We give you praise. Lord, I thank you. There's people standing among us today. You have brought them literally out of death into life. You've literally delivered them from natural things, that supernaturally, God, you have delivered them out of these things. God, you did it once. That's a sign, God, that you're for us. It's a sign, God, you are with us. It's a sign, God, Lord, we're receiving you now in Jesus' name to make all of our flesh clean and whole and pristine in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all of these things, for your goodness toward us, God, your kingdom in us, manifesting in every sphere of our lives, God. Oh, yashada nakara nakate noro ko shada yera da ka halata da kala doro tore be en noro hoshida mahara roto ro bo hoshida natara ye na lete embo hoshida nakara ye da ka sada da kari niro ko sida baraka in Jesus name. Darkness, you flee, you get out in the name of Jesus. Darkness, confusion, you flee, you leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. Kira mara kari endera, droto to boria te en noro hoshida nahara, le ne en noro bohodo kari nakari in the yara kasara. Oh, makada kasara in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We declare these things, Father. We declare them as final authority, God, your word. We declare the kingdom has come. And we are free of the kingdom of this world. We are free of the dominion of the devil. And we are under the dominion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the Healer, the Son of God. We praise you and thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you.